Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at RivieraAgSeeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
I want to remind you this time of the Regina Thunder Sports Dinner going down at the International Trade Center Thursday, May the 23rd. The featured guest will be Wally Buono, the all-time winningest coach in Canadian Football League history, a guy that played amateur football in this country, professional football in this country, and coached at the highest level in this country. He'll be a great guest that night, and I'll be very honored to be taking part in a Q&A with him at that dinner. Get your tickets by going to the Regina Thunder's website. Speaking of the Regina Thunder, our next guest is Stu Sherwater. Now, Stu Sherwater played on the Regina Thunder with the likes of Ben Hebert. Man, when you think of the Thunder program, they've had Getzlaff and Waldo and Stu Ford and Zach Evans and Dan Clark and Ben Hebert and Stu Sherwater, who, by the way, is a Major League Baseball umpire. And I believe the only Canadian Major League Baseball umpire right here from Regina. I caught up with Stu Sherwater. The jersey number 85, does that have any significance to you, or was that something that was just given to you?
That was given to me. So, yeah, when they give out numbers, they assign you a number, and they assigned me 85.
All right, cool. Do you like that number?
You know what? It has never been a number of mine. Growing up playing football, I was, 58, 45, when I played for the Thunder. So it really had nothing to do with anything, but it's kind of the number that got me here, and it's going to probably stay on my arm for the rest of my career. They do give us the option to change numbers when numbers open, but like I said, it's the number that kind of got me there. It's going to, I think I'll stick with it.
We're going to get back to the Thunder days in a second, but I wanted to ask you about, just some advice you have for young kids that are, reffing hockey or umpiring. What did you do to ignore the crowd and just have, can you get thick skin, or you have thick skin? You have that mentality to block everything out and just concentrate on your job?
I would say I do personally do have thicker skin. But at the same time, I think the more you're out there, the more you deal with it, the more you hear it. You just got to at least, kind of water up a duck's back and just let it go, not get it to you, because we all know sometimes there's some ruthless comments out there, but it's just something you can't take to heart. There's some fanatics out there that take this stuff pretty big to heart, and you just can't let it get to you. You just got to, go out there, do your game. No matter what they think, it's what's going on in your eyes and in your head, making those calls or, reffing out there on that ice. So it's something you just can't let get to you. If you take it home every night, for me especially, it would be a pretty stressful life. It's stressful enough already, let alone if you're worrying about what they're saying out there in the crowd.
This would be Stu Sherwater, Major League Baseball umpire from Regina, going into his second season. Yeah, so, do you just do you avoid the media, avoid social media, avoid all of that, just block it all out? Because like you said, you got enough, you got about 30,000 to 40,000 critics, it seems, every game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I would say avoid is a great way to do it. You're going to stumble across it. You might see have a call or something. You'll see a clip on at TV, but I'm not the one to open the newspapers and see what the article said about me last night, because they're usually not a pat on the back. So it's not a positive thing sometimes, especially if it, doesn't go, I guess, maybe the home crowd's way or whoever's writing that article, I guess. So, I just try to avoid, or listening and reading what they have to say about me, I guess.
You and I talked about this, both socializing and on my podcast. Talk about that time early on. I think it was before you were a full-time ump. I could be wrong, but you got into it with Joe Girardi of the Yankees. Just tell me about that. And what was that like for you? Young guy, cutting his teeth, and then you got the Girardi coming out of the dugout.
I guess he, you know, I had it was over pitches, and he disagreed with some of the calls I had. And I was a young guy, and, I had to stand up for myself, and yes, it doesn't matter if you're in Yankee Stadium or the backfield at Columbus Fields here in Regina, but you just got to, just handle yourself and tell them what you got and, give them as much rope as they can handle, and then eventually you just got to get rid of them.
You know, you talk about looking at the rule book and tuning up yourself with the rule book, but, that's something, I guess, it's hot, it's 90 degrees, it's 9 innings, it's 10 innings, it goes 12 innings. How do you stay mentally sharp? Like, do you do certain focusing drills or meditation to stay sharp for yourself, on your off days and stuff? Because that's a part of the game that I don't think people in the stands really appreciate. And you got, if you're the home plate umpire, you got the ball coming in at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, you're right, and it is pretty grueling mentally. But at the same time, you just got to keep yourself up. And I don't do any, side work on like you mentioned. But you just always got to remember that the sun's always going to rise the next day. Just keep battling it and keep getting out there, and eventually you will get out of that game. It's just you got a job to do. It doesn't matter how many innings it is, how many pitches it is, how hot it is. You just got to go out there, and you just got to call. Pitch by pitch, play by play, and whatever it ends, it ends.
Hey, are you an advocate of instant replays too, Sherwater?
You know what? Instant replay has done a lot of good things for this game, for sure. It's opened the door to a lot of jobs. They've had to add two more crews because of it, and it kind of gave the trickle effect down when the hiring process. So replay has definitely lets us go to bed every night knowing we got every play right at the end of the day. So if we can go out of there and have all the calls right, it's not a bad thing.
How did you find your first full season as a major league umpire?
It was a lot more. Like I said before, this is a very stressful job, but it's a different kind of stress. Before you're in the stress of walking on eggshells, didn't want to ever mess up, or you want to make sure you're. Every pitch you're getting right, you still have this, but now I need to prove that why they hired me, but at the same time, this kind of those eggshells are swept away a little bit, and you can just relax a little bit more, not a lot more, because you're under that microscope day in, day out. So it's just, now your stresses have changed from trying to get a job, trying to get a career, trying to support my family to, now I'm looking, let's go out there and work hard. Let's get an all-star game. Let's get a postseason. Let's prove everybody why I'm out here and do the best you can every night.
How do you earn an all-star game, a postseason game? Like, does it work on a grading system? Like, when you come in at the end of the game, does a guy meet you in the locker room and grade you like a player would get if he comes to his locker, on the Monday after a football game, he sees his grade after they look at the game tape? Like, how does your grading work?
Yeah, every day it is a grading system. Our supervisors, observers watch us a lot, and they do. They take in consideration, scores on the bases, scores on the plate. Everything's getting tracked nowadays, and it's a learning or it's a working tool, and it's a grading tool for sure. So it's a lot of the postseason and all-star stuff. It's a merit-based for the most part.
How important is it for you to kind of wave that Canadian flag? Do you want to be known as that Canadian umpire? First of all, how many Canadian umpires are there active in Major League Baseball right now? There's you, and is there one other one?
No, just me right now. There's about seven guys in the minor leagues that are grinding their way through, and hopefully one day they'll be in the same position I am, but I'm the only active Major League umpire.
So how important is that for you to kind of wave the Canadian flag?
I'm very proud. It's something that, I worked hard for, and I hoped other people in Canada would like to do the same thing. I don't think it doesn't matter where you're from, who you are. Just as long as you go out there and do the best job, and the best of the best will definitely come through. And to be Canadian in a game that's not hockey, and to be representing, my country as an official in Major League Baseball, I'm very proud of that for sure.
You come from the Prairies, which, baseball, there's good baseball here, but when you think Regina, you don't think baseball, and you certainly don't think umpiring.
No, absolutely. You're right. But I guess it just shows it doesn't matter. You don't have to come from the big centers. You don't have to come from the Ontarios and the BCs where our baseball programs are a lot bigger, mostly due to population, and I guess longer seasons. You put your mind to it and you get out there and you work hard. You can kind of do anything. I guess that old kind of saying.
Hey, so your buddy's Ben Hebert. He was on the show earlier. He told me to ask you, do you remember rookie night?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we remember. I talked to Benny quite a bit, and we talk about that, and we have a good laugh about rookie night every time we talk, and we do touch base, and we won't talk about that.
Yeah, well, he already did. There was tape and there was honey. That's what I know. That's all I want to reiterate. I let him talk earlier. And lastly, what do you want to improve on going into your number two for you?
Just keep the hit the ground running again, just like last year. Don't let up. It's just one of those things is you just never know. In my game, it's somebody we can never predict what's going to happen. You don't know what play you're going to have that night. You don't know what kind of games you're going to have. You just got to go out there and do your best job. And prepare yourself as much as you can. Like I said, getting in the rule book, making sure you're physically fit to go through those extra innings like you're talking about on those hot days. And just don't let up and just go out there and, I guess, never take a play off. You just got to go out there and work hard every night, and because you just never know what's going to happen, and you got to be on the be on your toes every day.
Folks, this is outstanding. I tell you what, a lot of kids that I'm not saying you couldn't make it in sports as an athlete, but a lot of kids, they want to continue in sports. They try their hand at officiating, and he's living proof that you can come from Regina and make it to the biggest level of the sport, as he's the only Canadian Major League umpire. Stu Sherwater from Regina, Saskatchewan, joining us here. Thanks for this, Stu.
Yeah, absolutely, Baldy. Thanks for having me on.
Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at riviereagseeds.ca.
Well, I was thinking about Tiger winning the Masters last weekend. I was watching it live like many of you and rooting for him. But it wasn't that long ago when I wasn't rooting for him. He was the butt of all the jokes, including here on The Wolf with Chad and Ballsy. He wasn't known for golf anymore, and he was losing and finishing at the bottom. Well, what changed? Why do we like Tiger all of a sudden? It's because he dropped down to our level. He was a regular person instead of an untouchable douche. Tiger stayed focused and spent several years not even in the conversation. He was humbled, but he never stopped working on his game. He still showed up. What does that mean for us? Well, I believe it means don't give up. And being humbled is good for the soul. Let it fuel your fire to win. Now, if you're winning in life and it's coming to you on a silver platter with not that much effort, watch out for sounding too cool for the room. Tiger used to be too cool for the room. I believe people root for the others that seem like they can be friends with everyone. Years ago, people didn't like Tiger all that much, but he worked hard. He became human. People love a good comeback story. And Tiger Woods just may very well be the greatest comeback story ever.
Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivieraagseeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan.
All right, joining me now on the phone line is Pete Pascoe. Yes, a man known to many in the media market back in the day, newsman on 620 CKRM, also Locker Talk on Access. How are you today, Pete?
Wonderful, you?
I'm doing great. Now, Pete, you're also known in the football community. How long have you been coaching at the RMF slash high school level?
This is year 12.
Wow. So what got you? Now, take us back into your, like, did you play high school football? How did you get into loving this sport?
Indeed, I did. Back home in London, Ontario, for the Catholic Central Crusaders, who are perennially one of the top 10 teams in the country in those CFC 100 rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much when I played, though, Michael. it was literally, and it appeared in the media, known as the dark ages of high school football for our program. And we got a new coach on board my final year. He took over the program a year after that, and then they started winning everything.
Awesome. Well, hey, but you're at least passing your knowledge on maybe what you learned from your coaches and your playing days onto the people in this community. So tell us, what do you like about the Regina Minor Football League? I've asked a lot of people this. What do you like about the grassroots level here?
I'll tell you what, compared to high school football when I played, minor football here is miles ahead of it in terms of the organization, how organized it is, the coaching, the amount of clinics you have access to. It's and certainly the results you see at the U18 level and the Canada Cup. Minor football here is just amazing.
You know, you'd be a good one to talk about this. Not that you're a quarterback, but you've been with many teams at various levels. I've talked about this earlier on the show. You know, Regina, something in the water, but like you get the Mason Niases, the Reed Quest, the John Mackeys, the Sawyer Bittner in this area, the Jordan Yances, the list goes, Keegan Cater, Neil Donnelly, and who could forget Noah Picton? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. What makes Regina a hotbed of quarterbacking?
I think it's got to be the coaching, and it's very much a cyclical thing. The kids you mentioned, a lot of their dads played quarterback, and they got into coaching. And some of these kids we're seeing, unfortunately, because they don't have any pro options ahead of them, they're getting back into coaching as well, and that's just making the next group even better. So 10 years from now, the quarterback should be even better than now.
I've always said this, and I continue to bang the drum. It'd be nice to see somebody like Noah Picton, who signed that 3-year deal with the Argonauts, break through to kind of breathe some life at the grassroots level, because I really think it is going to start, if it hasn't already, affecting our grassroots level. If you have a kid who is a great receiver, let's say, and a great quarterback, he's probably, if he has aspirations going forward after university or college, he's probably going to pick receiver.
Well, the worst conversation in the world is talking to a high school quarterback who's got all the skill in the world, and you have to say to them, like, when I've been an offensive coordinator, so have you thought about another position at the next level? Because that's a terrible thing to have to say to a kid who's got all the talent in the world but can't go anywhere because he's a Canadian quarterback.
Yeah. Why did you get into coaching, Pete? I know your son, Jake, is he's with the Thunder still, is he not, if I'm not mistaken? I know he was there recently, right?
Yeah, they haven't cut him yet.
Okay, good. That's good. No, he's a great football player, went to O'Neal. But what got you? Was it because you wanted to coach, Jake? What got you into football?
That was literally it. I mean, I had thought about coaching for years and years, but like a lot of guys, I was in the media. I was running around. I was doing all these things. And then Jake came to the age where he was able to play his first year of RMF, so I put my name forward. I said, yeah, you know, I played a little linebacker back in the day. I'll be an assistant coach. And they said, congratulations, you're the head coach.
So what do you like about it now? Because Jake is long gone. He's not, he's not in high school, and you're still involved. I know you're involved in the Spring League heavily because I've coached with you. And we'll get to what you're doing now. What makes you still want to coach? And you're pretty, like, tell me about your certification, because you're a well-certified coach.
I've got my what used to be a level 3. Now it's the intro to competition coordinator level. So I'm a fully certified coordinator, offensive coordinator, could coach anywhere up to and including the university level. for whatever that's worth, the pay is exactly the same when you're a volunteer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess I was the first guy in Canada to achieve that level just because I jumped on the training as soon as possible. And that's one thing. I mean, we're blessed with all the clinics and stuff we have available to us here in Regina and across Saskatchewan. What do I get out of it? The relationships more than anything. I'm not Bill Belichick. I'm not the world's greatest X's and O's guy, and I will out-scheme you. I think I'm competent in that area, but I just love the relationships and working with young people and helping them achieve whatever they want to achieve, whether it's football or something else in life.
You know, we talk about growing the sport of football. I think there are two areas where we could grow it. Introduce it to the new Canadians coming to our country who are growing up with cricket or growing up with the other football, soccer. I think that's one area. And also, women's football. We're seeing it, you know, a pretty pretty prominent program here with the Riot going through a little bit of a coaching change, and you're part of that change. What are you doing with the Riot?
I've jumped on board to help Morgan Bunce, who's the new head coach, and I'm sort of kind of an underling with the offense, but I'm also one of the position coaches with the offensive line, going back to my roots with the O-line.
So what do you think coaching girls, what kind of challenge is that going to bring for you?
You know, in terms of the depth of knowledge and the depth of experience, it's not there. They haven't been playing since they're 9 years old, obviously. But in terms of the ability to learn and the athletic ability, it's right there with high school guys and beyond. I mean, these are very accomplished athletes. As you mentioned, athletes in other sports who are transferring those skills to football. And, it's actually been a bit of an eye-opener in terms of the quality of the football.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. You know, a guy who's been just around guys and been a part of this and all ages in terms of the guys, did you know what to expect getting into it?
I sort of did. I mean, I talked to coaches and former coaches, Olivier Eddy, last year's head coach. He and I had numerous discussions in terms of not so much game planning and X's and O's, but what are these athletes like? What do they respond to? What don't they respond to? And I had the mindset, and I sort of got to this point while interviewing these folks via Locker Talk, that we're not talking about women's football anymore. We're just talking about football, and it just happens to be played by women. That's the way they want to be treated, and that's the way we treat them.
That's an interesting way to put it. Pete Pascoe joining me here for another couple quick seconds. So it's got to be exciting, though, to be kind of at this level. And, you know, it's growing. Like Saskatoon's implementing a girls program. We see it in Melville and some bedroom communities and towns. That's neat. I like to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, there's the, I guess, the Midget Age League that started up last year. Regina, of course, has the Victorias. And we're already seeing some of those players moving up to the Riot this year. So that's just going to be great for the sport at the grassroots level and grow it even more.
Now, let me ask you, you have a son playing this sport and you're coaching other people's kids, which I would think you take seriously. When I used to coach, I always wanted to treat the kids how I would want my kid to be treated if I was watching over at the fence, watching how a guy's handling my kids. Because they're our offspring, right? So, but how do you feel about the sport and where it's going in terms of safety and in terms of that type of stuff?
Oh, I love it. I mean, every coach in RMF now has to have safe contact training. And that's fantastic. Ryan Hall and the folks at Football Sask done a great job introducing that and teaching it. That's just made the game safer. The equipment, of course, is making the game a lot safer, but at the same time, we're not teaching the kids to rely on the equipment. Like, you saw a lot of that in hockey. Like, you've got this fantastic equipment that's made you virtually indestructible, so why not lead with your elbow? Well, we're not. We're teaching kids how to tackle safely, how to receive a tackle safely, and compare it, again, back in my day, we concentrate so much more on that than, I mean, we used to do drills without equipment on just to toughen a guy up back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Now that's unheard of because it's insane.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Pete has a concussion. Well, great. Put his helmet on and tell him he's Larry Allen. Throw him out on the field. That's what it was. Kind of. Hey, Pete Pascoe.
That's pretty much it. He's concussed. How would you know the difference?
Pete Pascoe joining me here. Thanks a lot for taking time out of your schedule. I look forward to your exploits on the field with the Regina Riot this season.
Thank you. My pleasure.
on behalf of me and those close to me, I want to wish you and yours a happy Easter. Oh, and my good friend Morgan Freeman wants to too.
Where you hide an Easter egg depends on how long you want your kid to look. Now, if you want to make it easy, hide it behind the TV. But if you want to make it a challenge, hand them $200, a shovel, a backpack with water and freeze-dried berries, pepper spray, a map to Cairo, and tell them that in the deepest, darkest catacomb of the oldest of the 138 pyramids, they'll find the spirit of King Tutankhamun, who will transport them to a spiritual realm where, if they answer the 5 questions of the Nubian demigods correctly, they will be rewarded with a peep. Any color they choose. Now, is it a lie? Of course. But what an Easter memory they'll have. Plus, you'll get the little turd out of your hair for a day. Or 2. Or 100.
That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.